Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. The Lord is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. If you ever wonder, you know, God loves, he's very motivated for his people. He loves his people. And he takes us very seriously, every one of us. When we choose in our heart to love him, he will move heaven to get to us. Just, you know, the motivation of Jesus, you know, beside what Jesus did for us, he came and he died for us and he was willing. He was totally in covenant with God. Good things happen when you're in total covenant with God. But to show you how the Father is motivated, he sent Jonah to Nineveh, people that were wrong, guilty of sin. And that man did not want to go. He wanted the judgment of God to fall on that nation. And he wanted the judgment of God to fall on that nation bad, to the point that he ran from the Lord, risking his own life for revenge against his enemy. Now, you know, in that culture, the law was eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. But the mercy of God, now he had revelation of the mercy of God. And when the Lord gave him his assignment, he didn't like it and he tried to get away. Well, you know the story. He tried to sail east and the Lord took him back west to Nineveh. Nevertheless, he got there and he preached a simple message. I think it was, 40 days the Lord would destroy this place and they repented. Now, he got there just in time to tell them so that 40 days, they had a 40-day wonder to get it right. And they did repent. The king and all the people repented. Repented. You know, I tell people, repent like Nineveh, fight like Judah. Repent like Nineveh. They didn't eat. They didn't let the animals eat. They turned from their wickedness, and the Lord spared their land. Now, so God is motivated. So when I say he's moving by his Spirit, everybody that's toward God, God is using them as much as possible. But not at the expense of their own salvation. He uses us according to his skill, to the skill level that we have. Now, this is why I say that. God doesn't, he loves us for us. He loves you for you, not what you can do for him. When you get to the point that you're able to begin a godly work, then he will give you wisdom to do it. He'll give you what you need. You have everything you need to begin. And when God gives you an assignment, you're ready, you pass test to, and now he can use you in a greater way. And we talked about that yesterday. But you have the faith it takes and the strength it takes to at least begin. And all you have to do is continue and he'll add to you. Now, God, I was just thinking the other night how God evaluates everything. And that's the reason I said he loves you for you, not what you can do for him. God has to judge when people get in pride. And when people get to a point where they can receive, where God can work through them, God can do a great miracle through them, and then they're at the point now they won't get in pride over it. Now God can do things with them. They won't get in fear. They won't get in pride. Usually when people are in pride, they automatically get in fear. And because fear, you know, faith works by love. Fear works. Pride works by fear. You have to get in, to take your eyes off God and look within. You have to have fear to do that. Not to fear the Lord, but when you do that, when you take your eyes off the Lord and look within and how wonderful you are, it's wrong. So you automatically get in fear because now you're an opponent against God instead of working on his side. Everybody that they get in pride, they always use fear tactics. That's a sign that they are in pride. Nevertheless, when you can do a state or work, And you'll do it right. You're not a novice. You know, when people have the anointing, they can do things far beyond their human capabilities. You can speak far beyond your years of knowledge and intelligence. And so when that's going to happen under the anointing, but when people get lifted up, then they start looking down on other people and they make the biggest mess. So that's why we have to have pastors to coach people into the things of God. And you show people, you know, they're the gifts that God has given. You know, the church home is a safety net. That's, you can make your mistakes and then you can be corrected. You know, this is what Jesus did. You don't have to be in a building per se, because remember they wanted Jesus to call down fire from heaven. And he said, you don't know what spirit you are. Well, they needed to hear that. They was trying to see who would be the most, who would be the leader. And Jesus had them wash each other's feet. He washed their feet. Well, he washed their feet. He gave them an example that they'll never forget. And he said, people, the kings of this world exercise dominion over the people, but it won't be that way among you. The greatest in the kingdom of God is the greatest servant. And this is why the church has not grown. They left these kind of principles. This is why they can't grow, because they put aside these foundational principles. Once they're out of place, you can't grow right. And God don't build on sand, he built on a rock. So you gotta receive enough of his word and his love in you to have a rock foundation. Then the Lord will release the anointing. Then the Lord will release greater miracles. And you have to, and the people that's upcoming in their sight, you don't get in pride. You remain a servant to people. And then you let people know that they can do the same thing if they yield to the Lord. Well, in many cases, that's not happening. What happens is people, they work miracles and then they brag about it. Or they testify about it. Sometimes the testifying is, sometimes it can seem like a brag, but they testify about it and they don't always show the failures. Now, good preachers, they share the failures along with the success. That's how it is. So if you fail somewhere, you gotta minister why. Now, when I fail, I say, Lord, how did I get to that point? What happened? And then he tell me. Then I know what to watch out for. Think about it. I'm 57 at this point. So I'm fighting a devil that's thousands and thousands and thousands of years old. And he know the principles I'm trying to learn. He once learned the principles that I'm trying to learn today. So I got to fight that thing. But if my only hope of winning is looking to God, receiving his word and doing precisely what the Lord say do in the spirit that the Lord gives me to operate in. What I mean by the spirit of the word, the voice of the word and the voice of the Holy Spirit who inspired the word in the first place. So the Holy Spirit will not lie and he will not cheat and he will not steal. Everything that he do is pure, straight from the heart of God. And God is motivated by his wonderful love. So when I can always rejoice in his love. On my worst day, I can rejoice in the fact that God loves me and I can enjoy his presence. And I don't have to be bent out of shape over a situation. So now, when the Lord chooses people and give them revelation, you have to understand that the Lord don't do that unless people are mature. And because he loves our life, he loves us. So when God gives somebody a revelation, if you want to learn it, you have to see them. And he expects you to. We shouldn't treat anybody like they are insignificant and they've been washed in the blood. Anybody that's washed in the blood is a capable candidate of being a blessing to somebody. And you have to treat every person just like you treat Jesus. Without respect of person. And that takes leadership. This is why God called pastors to pastor, to help people come to a functional point in life. And once they get to a functional point where they can where God can trust them to carry things out and live a mature life, then they may stay and help the pastor even more, or they may branch out and do what the pastor's doing or do something else. But the Lord told me once, when pastors raise, get people to a point, you know, they did their job and they help people grow to a point that God can release them in ministry, he'll send two people to replace them. And now, building the way God wants them to build, you know, I don't know. I've seen some wonderful men of God that do right like that. And I've seen good ministers come from even my pastor. But when people do things precisely like God tell them to, in the timing, and everything is perfect, he will send two more people to replace the people that they were faithful for. They were faithful in helping to mentor them. Every office is very important. And the wisest pastors, they help people grow to a functional point for their calling. And it's not limited by the common narratives that we love so much. It's the call of the Holy Spirit. You know, and we expect things to be the same. When God called me to the ministry, I said, well, one day I'm gonna have to leave my mechanic job alone. But no, the Lord didn't. That's not what the Lord told me. I even thought it was God's will for me to do more with ministry and less in my business. But the Lord taught me that my business is a very important part of my ministry. I didn't understand it at the time. But I remember him saying that. So it's very important that my business is a very important part of my ministry. Now, I've heard other ministers say that the Lord told them that the same thing. One of them was pastoring the church, and the Lord told him to stop pastoring and start a business. And guess what? He said he was an apostle. And then I heard of another one. The Lord told him he wanted to go to seminary school. The Lord told him to go in the military. So the call of God is not limited. You just have to go in the Lord's presence and do what the Lord say do. He raised us up for reasons. And as a creator, he prepare us, he prepare things in us. We have a destiny. So when people, whatever you want to do in life, present your life a living sacrifice. Do what he said do. And then when you get married and in his perfect will, things work out better. You know, if you get married and then you're trying to drag somebody into God's perfect will in your life, that might be a problem to them. They may not have wanted to go. They may have a whole nother opinion about it. So, you know, you need to know something about where you're going and what God wants you to do. And sometimes God has mercy on people. He blessed them to marry somebody that will be an asset to his perfect will. But if you're going to follow God, and if it's important to you, who you marry is very important. I remember Billy Graham's testimony. He was going to marry a lady, and the Lord told him to break that engagement off because she would not have been an evangelist's wife. And he married Ruth, and she did, he became a miracles evangelist. And I've heard other testimonies that way. Some people would be a blessing, and some would be a curse. And I mean, that lady probably would have divorced him. Now, people had, and especially in those days, if you had a divorce, they might not want to listen to you. So, who you marry is very important to the cause of God. And if you're an evangelist, that's territorial. You got to be somewhere at a specific time and place in order for your anointing to work. So when you your mission, your life assignment, you have to consider the other person and what are their capabilities. Now, as we go forward in the Lord, He gives us everything we need, and He's actively moving by the Holy Spirit. He loves us all, and He cares about us all, and He knows our strengths and weaknesses, and He does things more strategic than the traditional churches we go to. And we love our traditions because people, they love their traditions. They know that, they're used to that. But when it comes to the specific call of God, it can be something way outside the box, but it's biblical. Think about it. Samson was a judge, and he was anointed to judge and kill. So don't limit God. God can use you how He needs you whatever He needs you to do, He can raise you up for that. But we fight spiritually now. And when you fight spiritually, you can prevent wars, you can prevent things, you can take back land. Henry Grover used to take back territory for God. He would go and break all the covenants of long ago. If you don't know satanic tactics, who would know these things? Because we don't think like the devil. It took the Holy Spirit to go and help him take back territory. See, when blood is spilled in the ground, that's where the enemy will set up camp. That's why gang activity is so bad. It gets way out of hand. It's so crazy. The average person they don't think in those terms. But when they shoot each other and blood is spilled in the ground, and nobody prayer walks it. Nobody know to prayer walk it. The local church don't teach people to prayer walk. When I first started listening to Henry Grover in 2017, I knew nothing about prayer walking. But come to find out, the Lord used me to prayer walk. I just didn't know it. When I did the good newsletter in my neighborhood, the first thing I did, the day I had my writings all typed up, it started raining, so I wanted to do something. I looked out the window and I saw the Mormons out there on their bicycles, and it was drizzling. I said, now they out there doing my job, and they teaching wrong. They teaching lies. And I wanted to do something, so I started praying over the neighborhood, praying over the ministry, and blessing it. And then the next week, I started praying and I began to take I started walking the neighborhood, passing out those flyers. And I went to I get 1,000 copies and I pass them out. It took me a month to pass out 1,000 copies. I do 250 every Sunday until I passed them all out. Well, that was prayer walking. I just didn't know it because I was praying and I was walking the ground. But I didn't know to remit sin, so it wasn't complete prayer. Not on the caliber of Henry Grover, but guess what? The gunfight stopped. There were no gunfights while I was doing that newsletter. And none. There were none. I didn't hear any more gunfights from the time I began doing the newsletter to the day I left. And the day I left from that neighborhood, a gunfight broke out. Now, I stopped doing the newsletter. I probably shouldn't have, but I did. That's just how it is. When I moved from the neighborhood, I didn't prayer walk. I mean, I didn't do it anymore. So I didn't know. I mean, you know, I did that assignment. And assignments don't always last forever, but they can. I mean, they can last as long as God didn't tell me to stop. I stopped on my own. I probably should have went in the prayer room on that, but I didn't. But nevertheless, I had success while I was doing. And you will too. So when God gave me the radio assignment, I got very excited because I saw what the good newsletter did. And I can't see what the radio broadcast is doing. But I know that when you put something in God's hand, it's working. Always have faith in what God is doing. If He tell you to do something, it's working. And it's up to you to continue it. Don't let the ball drop. Do what God say do. And once you did it, rejoice and watch him. Don't look at the success. Don't look at the what looks like the failure, because things may not, they usually don't be like you expect. And you're just going to have to understand this is not something that you can put a label on. Sometimes the Lord give us new things to do that's new to us. And you think it's going to go one way in your mind and it don't. It's going to go like it's supposed to go. And you may not see anything for a very long time. It's just like planting tomato seeds or corn seeds. You're going to go a while before you see a plant pop up. You know, I planted 3 sticks. They were 2 muscadine vines and 1 Concord grapevine. And the muscadine vines, they started sprouting leaves, and every day they get bigger. But the Concord grape, I don't know if it's dead or not, but there's no leaves on it. So it's a different species. Maybe it takes longer. I don't know. I'm not a farmer at all. I'm just a guy who was at Lowe's and I picked up some grapevine plants. So I asked the people how to take care of it. They told me I'm going to do what they said do and pray over it. Now, it's important to follow God because he thinks of everything. We think in part, and you have to always remember that. When it don't go, if you really want to know why things didn't go like you thought, just ask and let him tell you. Now he'll get you the answer. And that's how I learned that he thinks of everything. Because over time he give me things to do and say, and I do it, and I say I don't see anything. And I say what he say, I still don't see it. Then all of a sudden I start getting feedback. Now when I do this ministry, the Lord come to me with what to teach. Now, he don't do that unless he's talking to somebody. So many of you are listening and hearing. And I thank God for everyone that listens to this broadcast. I know it takes faith. But guess what? God loves his people. And God is faithful. And then the graduation, the Lord started changing the way he helped me to do things differently and better. And it's according to his perfect wisdom. He's going to do you that way too. Just enjoy the ride. Always watch him. Don't look at how things look. Don't look at how things feel. Go by what the Holy Spirit is giving you in your heart. Now, you have to also learn not to require things of others. People can't give you what they don't have. They can only, they'll help you according to their wisdom level and the glory that they walk in. People don't know, they can't value everything that you value, especially if it's a revelation. If God give you a revelation, you're responsible. Don't let it die because people don't see what you see. Even people that are ahead of you in ministry, leaders, mentors, they can't judge that revelation because God didn't give it to them. So they have no way to know how important it is. Secondhand information, when God give a man a revelation, he has the in-depth teaching on it. Now I say that for a very strong reason. The Lord taught, when he said everlasting love, to love a man whether he does you good or evil, that's not the only thing I heard. That's what I heard in my spirit, but that's not the only thing I understood. I understood many concepts all at once based on that. That's the best way I know to put it. When he told me not to fear falling, those were the words that I heard, but that's not all that I understood. I understood that God gave me authority over everything that's of the enemy. And nothing of the enemy is able to master me. That's what I understood. But what I heard was, don't fear falling. But what I understood was, you have the mastery, not the women that's trying to tempt you. Now, I couldn't even put it in words, but I understood the concept. So I was able to look at women and love their soul, love them as a person, And the first thing I notice about any person is that that's a person that God loves. That's my brother or sister, or they should be. I love that. I love them. And you can't lust after people if you love them. Not with the God kind of love now. I'm not talking about like the natural human love. I'm talking about the God. If you love a person like Jesus loved you, you can't lust after them. You can't. You see them as a person, not an object. Remember something about temptation. It's not of God in the first place. I mean, think about it. God made us naked anyway. But we were clothed with the glory of God. There was no way to focus on nakedness when you see the person and you had the love of God towards them. No matter how beautiful they are or what they look like or how appealing they are, you love that person. That's from God. That's what I was praying to go back to. I didn't know these things. Those kind of concepts I never heard before anywhere. I didn't even know it was possible. And Jesus said, if a man look on a woman and lust after him, that's like committing adultery in his heart. I didn't understand that because from where I came from and the way that, like my friends, the way we saw women, they would, you know that they're pretty and they're attractive. And that was not a concept. You know you don't supposed to look at women the wrong way, but you didn't know how to help it. So you just tried not to do that if you were a Christian, and you tried to act right. And when you was, when I was an adolescent, I just tried to act right. I didn't want to be a man of lust or anything like that. I wanted to have a wife and just do right by my wife. And that's from God. But from Satan. Satan grooms us according to the world. It's on TV, it's on radio, it's in music. And yet, look at the facts. Most people don't go lusting out. They don't act on the influences, but they're there. And they work as leaven. And some people are stronger than others. Some people, they say, well, they know it's just a song and they deal with it. People have their own way of dealing with it. I didn't run after the world, but when the world ran after me, I had to go and pray and ask the Lord, how do I kill this problem? And when he said, don't fear falling, my spirit man was willing and ready. He said it at a point where my spirit man was on fire for God. And so when he gave me that word in the spirit, I reached out and grabbed that word. I found life in it. All I heard was don't fear falling. But what I understood was you have the mastery, not the world. You have the mastery, not the women. You don't have to look at them the wrong way and don't fear it anymore. So when the Lord gave a person a revelation, I said all of that to say this. When God gives somebody a revelation, they can only tell you what the Lord told them, but they understand greater measures of what they said. This is why. Because they understood, it's spiritually discerned. They received a spiritual revelation with the words that they heard that charged their heart. The basic words charge your heart, but what you understand is off the chart. So when the Lord told me to follow God, I understood volumes of information concerning following God that even gets into sowing and reaping. And when I say these things, all the people hear is follow God. When I do that, I obey God. I read the word. I don't cuss. I don't fight no more. I don't lust after women, or I try not to. They're looking at the deeds that they're doing. I finish school. I did this. I do that. Why are you telling me to follow God? Well, the revelation is go in prayer, just like they did in Acts. No different than Paul and Silas. They were in the prayer room praying. They were prophets. And Barnabas was ahead of Paul. It said Barnabas and Saul. The Lord said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul. They were in the prayer room praying. And then the Lord said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul. And they became what? Apostles. Now, in their mission, they didn't say, well, I guess we'll start on this street and work our way to that one. No. The Lord said, don't preach a word in Asia. So they left. They went where God told them to go. Then they saw a man in, Antioch, but they saw a man praying, come and teach us. Now they got a direction to go in. Now that, my friend, is following God. They could have said, well, we're following God. We're going to start over here on this particular street in Jerusalem, and we're going to work our way to the outskirts. And that's not what God said. Those people would have killed them. If you're going to introduce the world to Jesus, you start where people were here.